I'd first of all like to welcome the family of Mr. Curtis Ortego here at Mass today. Mr. Curtis was a very faithful usher for many years at the 4 o'clock Mass, who passed away and will be buried this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So we ask you please keep him and his family in your prayers. There are two ancient customs that we'll participate in today having to do with the festival of Epiphany. First is the proclamation of the different church celebrations that we're going to have throughout the year. This was done from time immemorial, especially before the days when we had the printing press and calendars were readily available for everybody. On Epiphany, the major feasts of the church were proclaimed. Secondly, at the end of Mass, I'm going to bless some chalk. And this chalk is going to be used to inscribe the date of the year, actually of 2015, along with the initials of the three wise men, Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. We're not quite sure there were just three of them. We just say that there were three because of the three gifts that they gave, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The gold, of course, referring to Christ's kingship, the incense referring to his divinity as the Son of God, and myrrh, which was used in the preparation of the dead, actually, to show Christ's sacrifice. But to begin with our proclamation of the church celebrations. Dear brothers and sisters, the glory of the Lord has shone upon us and shall ever be manifest among us until the day of his return. Through the rhythms of times and seasons, let us celebrate the mysteries of salvation. Let us recall the year's culmination, the Easter Triduum of the Lord, his Last Supper, his crucifixion, his burial, and his rising, celebrated between the evening of the second day of April and the evening of the fourth day of April, Easter Sunday this year being celebrated on the fifth day of April. Each Easter, as on each Sunday, the Holy Church makes present the great and saving deed by which Christ has forever conquered sin and death. From Easter are reckoned all the days that we keep holy. Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, will occur on the 18th day of February. The Ascension of the Lord will be commemorated on Sunday, the 17th of May. Pentecost, the joyful conclusion of the Easter season, will be celebrated on the 24th day of May. And this year, the first Sunday of Advent will be on the 29th day of November. Likewise, the Pilgrim Church proclaims the Passover of Christ in the Feast of the Holy Mother of God, in the Feast of the Apostles and Saints, and in the commemoration of the faithful departed. To Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come, Lord of time and history, be endless praise forever and ever. Amen. So let's talk about wisdom. Why is it that we call these magi wise men? Well, first of all, we have to understand what a magi was. A magi was a person in ancient times who was seeking to unlock the mysteries of the universe. So these men were probably astrologers. Remember, at that time, there was no distinction between astrology, the study of the stars and their influence on humanity, and astronomy, the strict scientific study of the heavens and how they operate. For them, the heavens did operate in a particular fashion, according to certain laws and certain rules of the universe, but they also would show that things were happening in the world. There was some kind of an influence. So the fact is, they were actually looking up. They were looking up at the heavens, and they saw in the heavens some kind of a sign which told them that great things were occurring here on earth. Now, as I said, God had revealed himself to the Jewish people through Moses and the prophets. They had the fullness of the law, and what God was preparing them for was this moment, to be a light of revelation to the entire world. And these Gentile, these non-Jewish, these pagan magi saw these signs. They were searching for something. They were searching for truth. And now the fullness of truth was to be revealed to them. And God made man, the infant Christ, seated, as I said, on the knee of his mother Mary. And thus Our Lady has the title, the Seat of Wisdom. So let's talk about wisdom. Wisdom, as we've been told, is a spiritual gift that enables one to know the purpose and the plan of God. All of us who've received the sacrament of confirmation receive this as one of the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit in confirmation, the great gift of wisdom. Those who are wise seek truth. the wise look for, the wise participate in, all the things that are truly good, the things that are truly beautiful, and the things that are right. That's the sum of all truth. In other words, the wise seek God. The wise seek God, and they seek all things that reflect or mirror God Himself and the things that come from God. In reality, in seeking God, we're not going to find Him. We must seek God, but we're not going to find Him. In fact, it's God who finds us. That's how it works. We seek Him, and then He comes and finds us and reveals the fullness of Himself. Just as these wise men were not quite sure what they were seeking, but they found their deepest longing in Christ. God finds us. So wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Lots of people know lots of things. You and I know all kinds of people have all kinds of facts and figures in their heads, but there's not a whole lot of wisdom there in their speaking. Wisdom goes much deeper than just the mind. Wisdom goes down to the heart, to the very soul. Knowledge can tell us facts. The what's, the how's. But wisdom tells us why. Wisdom tells us why. Wisdom tells us the meaning and the purpose of everything. All of creation, the persons that we encounter, all the happenings that we experience. Wisdom gives us the meaning and purpose of all these things and teaches us to see the very presence of God in creation, to see the presence of God in every person, to see the presence of God in every experience, good or seemingly bad, but for us to know the will and the mind of God in everything. The companion of wisdom is prudence. Prudence is a virtue not very well exercised, sadly, by our society today. Prudence tells us that just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should do something. Prudence reminds us that just because something is legal or commonly accepted does not mean that it's right or that it's moral or even in accord with God's will. Prudence does seek to do what's right by God. Prudence seeks for us to do what's right by God and to do what's right by other people, but not to do what's right just for ourselves and ourselves only. To kind of sum that up, we can go back to the Acts of the Apostles where the Apostles were told to quit preaching about the name of Jesus, and they responded by saying, quote, "It is better for us to obey God rather than men." So this is where we find wisdom and prudence come together, to know the mind and the will of God, to see God in everything, to find the fullness in Christ, and to live according to what we have received. It is better for us to obey God rather than men, even ourselves and our self-will sometimes. And so, brothers and sisters, for the past several weeks, we've been preparing ourselves with something. The 4 weeks of Advent, we were preparing ourselves to celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas. We celebrated the birth of the Lord, and we come to this beginning of the church's year, and Epiphany marks that, and it marks the beginning of the civil year, but it also reminds us of the purpose for which the Lord came, that we prepare ourselves in Advent to receive Christ in our hearts so that we could become more and more like the Lord. Now, lots of people are going to make all these different shallow resolutions this time of year. But in reality, this time of rebirth and renewal is what Christ is calling us to. What St. Paul would say is the renewal of our minds, the renewals of our very souls, a rebirth in Christ. A renewal of mind, a rebirth of soul, to be reborn in wisdom, reborn in purity, to be reborn in holiness, to fulfill God's will for us as believers. As men and women, as husbands and wives, moms and dads, families, widows, single, clergy or religious, every one of us here, called by Jesus Christ Himself. All of us called from the four corners of the world, from every nation, race, people and language, from down our own streets in our local community. Every one of us called, as the prophets say, from east to west, from the rising of the sun to its setting, to offer this pure, holy sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ, to worship the one true God who is the God of all nations. As St. Paul says, we come as children of one Lord to celebrate and share in one faith, in one baptism, worshiping God, the one God who is our Father. This fulfills, as I said, the words of the prophets of Israel. It fulfills the deepest longing of the people of Israel, that from this group of people, this chosen people, would come the salvation of the entire world. All nations, as shown in the wise men, these magi, all nations drawn to Christ through Mary, the seed of wisdom, to eternal salvation. This new year has lots of promise to it. We all look with hope and anticipation to all the good things that may happen, and we should. We should be very optimistic, but also be realistic, knowing that sometimes we may undergo some kind of a trial or undergo disappointments and setbacks. There might be some unexpected hardships and worries, etc. But let's think about the Magi, these wise men in those times. The Magi traveled a great distance. Historians tell us probably from Persia, from the east, going into Israel, to Palestine. Did they have a difficult time? Of course. Camels, I'm sure, not very comfortable to ride on. They had good days, they had bad days. They traveled through the light of day and the darkness of night. But it was a journey seeking Christ. And in this journey, they never gave up. They pressed on and continued, even when that star disappeared from their sight. They persevered. And so we would do well to follow their example and their perseverance, especially when it becomes difficult for us to sometimes have faith or put our faith into practice, when we find it hard sometimes to believe in or to trust in God or even in one another or ourselves. In finding Christ from within, we can say to ourselves, I know that He wills and He permits it. That Christ wills and permits it. I know that God is calling and that His grace is enough for me. I know Him in whom I have believed. And no matter what happens, I will put all of my faith, my hope, my trust in Him and in Him alone. This, my brothers and sisters, is wisdom.